Good morning, people of God. Did you miss me? Who said no? It's good to be back with you after being gone for a bit of a time here. So anyway, how are you, by the way? Great. That's good. That's good. That's good. But it is good to be back with you. I'm excited to get the old juices going again. How many people's juices are going this morning? We got a few. Okay, very good. Very. What's that, Jerry? Or Jeff? Is it a loaded question? It could be. It could be. Anyway. But we come together this day to worship and to celebrate our lives together in our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's prepare our hearts and minds with our confession and forgiveness. I invite you to stand as you're able. Today, we begin here at the baptismal font, for it's here we are reminded of who we are and to whom we belong. So we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another, and we'll take a moment for our own examination and reflection at this time. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. We sing our opening hymn. You may be seated for this. Come now, almighty King, help us thy name to sing, help us to praise, Father, O glorious, or O victorious, come and reign over us, Ancient of Days. Come thou in power. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Covenant, in our baptism, you call us to proclaim the coming of your kingdom. Give us the courage to give the apostles, that we may faithfully witness to your love and peace in every circumstance of life. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Good morning. First reading today is found in Ezekiel chapter 2. A voice said to me, O mortal, stand up on your feet, and I will speak with you. And when he spoke to me, a spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said to me, Mortal, I am sending you to the people of Israel, to a nation of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants are impudent and stubborn. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God. Whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that there has been a prophet among them. Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read from Psalm 123 responsively. To you I lift up my eyes, to you enthroned in the heavens.
As the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, and the eyes of a maid to the hand of their mistress. So our eyes look to you, O Lord our God, until you show us your mercy.
Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy, for we have had more than enough of contempt.
Too much of the scorn of the indolent rich, and of the derision of the proud.
Our second reading is found in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, beginning verse 2. I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. Jesus came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph, and Judas and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor except in their hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out 2 by 2 and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them not to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. invite you to please pray with me. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks this day. Give us grateful hearts as we experience this time of worship and as we experience this time of fellowship together. We give you thanks for your word. Now may the words of my mouth and the thoughts and meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord our God, our Redeemer. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There's always this worry that, gosh, do I remember how to preach? I don't know. But you've been gone for a few weeks. About this time, 32 years ago, Lori and I had just graduated from seminary and we were available for call. And so we were in the process of our names going out there. We had the draft had happened. I don't know if you know this, but all the bishops get together and they have a draft. It's kind of like the NFL draft. It's called the ELCA draft. And so, all the rookies, they get in kind of divvy everyone up. Anyway, so we had gone through the whole draft, and we were assigned to our synod in southwestern Minnesota upon graduation from seminary. And which we kind of expected because that's the life we knew. We both were farm kids. We figured we would be serving in rural areas, and it made sense. And we felt very, very comfortable there. Well, the first place that I was asked to interview because we were looking for two separate places at that time, was a place called Bethany Lutheran Church near Bergen. Not the place in Norway. It's Minnesota. It's a little burg that has a bar. Every place has got a bar, but they make great burgers there. Anyway, the thing about this place is that it was 20 miles from where I grew up, and half the congregation was from my wife's hometown. Are we seeing any problems here? When I was thinking about this, I go, oh man, that's way too close to home. People know me. They have stories they could tell. All these different types of things. There's these different tapes that kind of go through, that run through your mind and stuff like that, and you kind of wonder, is it even possible to serve here? And so what I did is I told them it's too close to home. I don't want to interview. And so I didn't. But it was that idea that was too close to home. People know you. People who saw me grow up, walk through all the different stages of adolescence, delinquency. No. I was a good boy. Mostly. One of the jokes that we have with my kids is that they have a sibling pact. There are things that they don't tell their parents. They talk to each other. I totally understand that because there's things that I would never tell my parents either. How many understand what I'm talking about? You've had those packs. So this whole is almost like a hometown experience going into this. We're going to come back to this in a little bit. Jesus, in our gospel text today, was going home, his hometown. And there's a certain excitement about going home. And exciting about seeing people. And here Jesus is coming back as the one who had really was making it good out there in the world. What type of reception did he get? Isn't this Jesus? We know him. He's that carpenter kid, right? We know him. How did he get... What? Who does he think he is? Think he's talking so smart? The interesting thing here, at least to me, in this instance, the people refuse to engage with Jesus. They refuse to connect with Jesus. And then we hear that Jesus could do very little except to cure a few people. Now, I'm sure that his presence there was really important for them, and they experienced that. But then we hear him reflect. We hear that he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he moves on. I can't do anything here. Might as well move on. And he goes to other villages, and things start happening. He sends out the 12, and they go out, and they're doing the stuff. They're doing the work that Jesus had them do. They were talking to people. They were caring for the sick and curing and all the different things that Jesus was asking them to do. And the people were receptive. They connected with the disciples and Jesus. Some places there was resistance, some places there was a response to the action. So what does this mean? I think it has to do with how we are connected. How we are connected. Think of the ways that we're connected to so many things nowadays. We're connected to the internet. We're connected by our various types of media, types of things. And to not be connected leaves you kind of out. The thing I learned from this text is that God actively enlists us in God's work. We're not doing work for God. We're being enlisted to do the work God has for us to do. Connecting. This creates the unfortunate and at times tragic possibility of resistance. But it also invites our partnership. And in this way, makes holy our daily activities, and actions. God shares God's ministry of reconciliation and healing with us, which means that each and every day we have before us the opportunity to be a channel of God's grace and mercy to people in our lives and in the world that desperately is in need of grace and mercy. Jesus equips and commissions his disciples to carry on this ministry. They are now, that is, partners in the ministry in a way they have not been up to this part in the story. And in this, we also see that we are partners in this ministry. In other words, what we do matters. Our actions matter in our community, in our families, in the people that we touch. Our actions matter. Not as works that earn God's favor, but as a response to God's holy invitation. Holy invitation. You know, God has chosen us in baptism. Began here today at the baptismal font very intentionally because we need to be reminded of who we are and to whom we belong. that we are a child of God, and that we belong to God. God's chosen us in baptism, not only for salvation, but also for purposeful, consequential lives here and now. And that each day we have a choice between resisting God's activity and partnering with God, resisting or following. These stories we might share, these acts of kindness and compassion, are holy, and our moments of unkindness and indifference can be tragic as we are either connected or we resist. What we do matters. And once again, this week, God equips and commissions us to be agents of grace. In other words, we're sent. We're sent from this place to be agents of God's grace. When I got back late Thursday night, so Friday I came in to the office. The first place I went to was the Wonder Wall. How many have been to the Wonder Wall? I want you to go to the Wonder Wall. Because I was reading the things that have been put there. And I want you to think of this Wonder Wall as a means of engaging the what if. How does God call us to engage in the world, in our community, in this congregation? Now, who can tell me what I want you to do? Anybody tell me what I want you to do on that wall? Write on it. I want you to write on it. The markers are there. In fact, I'll tell you what. I'll even give you a week to think about it. Next week, you're going to get a sticky note in your bulletin. Okay? And so next week will be another opportunity for you to write something on that sticky note, and as you leave, then I want you to slap it on the wall. Because it's in our wandering together, it's in that journeying together that we that the ideas and wondering of how God will use us rises to the surface. So that we are truly agents of God's grace. Now I know we struggle at times to sense God's grace and to share it as we might, to make a difference in this world. But I can tell you that I see you. I don't know if you realize this, but see, I'm aware. I mean, as I see people engage, as I see you engage with each other, and I see different things happening, I see what's going on. I can tell you I see, and I'm grateful for your efforts, for the things that you already do. Now God invites us to a life of holiness, rooted in everyday acts of kindness that are simultaneously extremely ordinary, that we might overlook them, yet extraordinary in the difference that they can make to those around us. But God does more than see them, these things. God blesses those things. God blesses us to be a blessing, and works through them to love and bless and care for this world. God uses us even in our resistance. I refused initially to interview at that congregation because it was too close to home, because I didn't know if my words would be accepted. So, the weeks go by. Had a couple of interviews, which I knew from the onset it was not going to be a good match. You get a kick out of this. On the one call committee, I'm glad this call committee didn't do this. One of the members there said, "Do you wear shorts to do Bible study? I just can't. Can't respect someone who wears shorts to do Bible study." You see, I already knew it wasn't going to be a good fit at that time. But Lori was with me, and she says, "Oh, I don't know, he's got pretty good legs." Well, anyway, the story goes, is that the Synod office asked me if I would reconsider, because they wanted Lori to interview in a neighboring church. And I said, "Okay, it doesn't hurt to interview. It doesn't hurt to interview." So I sat there and interviewed, and they invited me to be their pastor. And it was just a wonderful experience. So sometimes the resistance is in us not being open to how God might use us, thinking those things. So that's my story. What's your story? How is God using you? And how are you open to that Spirit moving through you? Amen. I invite you to stand as you're able as we profess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come and judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you all. Let's share that with one another.
stand.
And discipleship, we give thanks for God's mercy, merciful compassion, as we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Lord God, equip all your faithful people for the work of mission. When we are empty-handed, give us partners in ministry. Help us to speak boldly of your promises without reservation or fear. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you breathe life into the dust of the earth. Bless the land and all who work it. Bring relief to areas of drought and famine. Send healing rains and cooling breezes to places scorched by sun and heat. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, when the nations are rebellious, raise up prophets and leaders to proclaim your way of justice. Provide for the needs of refugees, immigrants, asylum seekers, and exiles. Protect all who live in areas of war and conflict, Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, your grace is sufficient to bring wholeness to human weakness. Restore hope to those suffering hardships, persecutions, and calamities. Strengthen all who are fragile in body, mind, and spirit, especially Sue, Dave, Kathy, Lexan, Gordy and Carolyn, Dick, Maxine, Sharon, Ray, Chikandi, Dale, Sean, Levon, Libby, Owen, Edith, Leo, Sam, and all those that we name in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, renew our commitment to the work of hospitality. Help us to offer a caring welcome to visitors and those returning to the church. Help us to be living examples of your grace and your generosity, Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we pray for your guidance and care in watching over those who are rescuing those young boys from that cave. We pray for safety. We pray that lives may be restored and families be reunited. We give you thanks for those who risked their lives to help. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you equip disciples throughout the ages to proclaim your kingdom. Lead us by faith until every weakness of this world has been made perfect in the power of your everlasting glory. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, we lift to you these prayers and the prayers of our hearts, trusting in your everlasting love and mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May be seated. We'll sing our sending song. To point out a few announcements this morning. One announcement is that 2 weeks from today, we're going to be worshiping outside, right out here. And if you would like to, we'll have chairs and things for you to sit on, but if you'd like to bring your lawn chairs and be more comfortable in that, I certainly invite you to do that. And following that, we're going to have a little party. Just because we can. It's midsummer on the 22nd. So we're going to be doing that. So the outdoor worship is on the 22nd. So it also, the quilt auction. Lori, were there any more tickets sold for the quilt auction? From 2 weeks ago. Okay. She's the first Sunday we had the raffle tickets, they sold out. You must be really good. Anyway, thank you. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for doing this. Some other things that are coming up. Pack the Park is in August, the first Sunday of August. Be down at Wilson Park. We'll be together with our Saviors in peace on that day. And it'll be an opportunity for us to hear from our missionaries who will be with us and preaching that day. So it'll be a very good thing. Also, Lori's installation is August 25th in Hudson at Bethel Lutheran Church. And if you would like, I got to learn how to say no to that woman. but she asked me if I would direct the mass choir for for that. So we're going to be singing two songs. One is Be Thou My Vision, and the other is It's beautiful. It's for everyone born a place at the table. It's a beautiful song. Beautiful song. So if you'd like to come and sing in that mass choir, if you can that day, I invite you, anyone to come and do that. Of course, just to attend. But we'll be practicing like an hour and 15 minutes before the service starts. And the service starts at 2 o'clock, so it'll be like a quarter to one or something like that. That's a Saturday. Are there any other announcements that need to be lifted up this morning? No? We got plenty of time. I got to learn to preach longer. I just got to learn to preach longer, I guess. What's that?
It's okay.
That's okay? This isn't my hometown, though. Anyway, any other announcements that need to be lifted up? Oh, yes, there is one other one. And this is really a ministry thing. We have a large number of people who we would consider shut-ins or in need, and we want them to make sure they get communion on a regular basis. And we're in need of some people who would be willing to give up a few, maybe a few hours of their time during the month just to go and sit down and share some fellowship time, and then share the gift of communion with some of our folk. It's just really important that happens. And you can talk to Ardith, you can talk to Jerry, they'll tell you how rewarding it is, and such. So, but please talk to me if you feel called to do that. That's one of those things we might feel called. You feel tugged. Even if you just want to find out more about it, please feel free. Please come and talk to me. If that doesn't happen, see, then I'm going to start talking to you about it. I'm going to have to say, I think you would do this. So you can't say no to the pastor, right? Actually, they can. Yeah. Anyway. That's a different story. Yes, dear. So, anyway. All right. Well, anyway, let's celebrate this day. Go in peace and serve the Lord.